Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Got a really good one. Our theme this week is we want to show you how important IT is. First two segments are going to deal with that. I'm going to talk about a thing that Project Veritas is involved in right now, where they've really dug some stuff up on Pfizer that I think you're going to find to be very, very interesting. Jimmy, let's start out with that one. What's going on there now with Pfizer?
So Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's undercover journalist organization,
yeah,
who tries to, you know, identify fraud and corruption, they set up a journalist that was undercover to talk to this guy, Dr. Jordan Tristan Walker. His job, Dr. Walker's job, was worldwide R&D strategic operations and mRNA strategic planning for Pfizer, strategic planning for Pfizer in New York. Now, what happened was this, the way Project Veritas works is they get a couple of drinks and a guy and usually have a young lady, and this and those people just spill their guts on all kinds of things. And that's what's popped up on videos over and over again. But in this particular case, there was another guy involved, another male, who apparently was on a date with this Dr. Jordan Walker and got videotape of him discussing the plans with Pfizer to continue research to make the virus, COVID-19, more dangerous so that they could develop vaccines to counter them.
Yeah.
And, of course, this opens a can of worms for many, many issues because it looks like gain-of-function research.
Yeah.
He admits to it. He's discussing it. But he's talking about how financially lucrative COVID has been for Pfizer and how this would be another cash cow. And he also basically acknowledges that the probability that COVID-19 came out of a lab in Wuhan and just popped up.
Yeah.
In these
discussions. And now they found something better, right?
Well, what they're doing is they're
trying
evolving,
to make something better, yeah.
Evolving the virus to make it more deadly so that they can build, or at least more dangerous, potentially exceptionally dangerous, so they could build vaccines to counter it.
Yeah.
So basically they're creating the problem so that they can sell a solution. Incredibly damning information for Pfizer. And he's in a position and a role that would indicate that this is accurate information.
Well, Jimmy, let me ask you a question. Do you think that this adds a whole bunch of credibility to the people who are saying that the Pfizer products really don't do anything anyway?
You know what? This in particular just shows that what Pfizer has done has failed to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that as they're developing, using mRNA technology, developing more vaccines, creating more dangerous vaccines to create more mRNA-based vaccines, it shows a spiral and a danger from something that, you know, is really out of the realm and the regulators should be looking at. It's out of the realm of reality. It's out of the realm of what should be done by any organization.
I can't believe, Jimmy, that regulators aren't looking at this situation right now. I mean, I'm sitting here in my studio, you know, in the middle of nowhere, and I know about it.
Well, so
they got to know about it.
In this discussion, in his undercover videotapes, he actually acknowledges in the discussion how the revolving door from the regulators go into the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
So that they leave FDA or they leave the NIH, National Institute of Health, and they actually go into the pharmaceutical industry. And of course, that revolving door gives more, not only more credibility and experience, but also probably helps in the regulation and the deregulation or the allowing of this to go forward.
Yeah.
And of course, we've seen so many damaging things come out of these vaccinations now. A lot of people are wondering, well, how could it be so corrupt? But he kind of indicates why. And he actually equates it also with the military industry and military industrial complex and people leaving the military and rolling right into defense contractors.
Well, you know, it's really interesting that something like this has actually come to my attention here on a Saturday. I was going over all the comments last night, and Charster, who I happen to think is a pretty bright guy, mentioned a woman who, I'm not going to give her name right now, but she was involved apparently in producing a video that was banned. It was banned because it was pretty much anti-government. And it was an incredibly powerful video. I've watched it, part of it, and I fully intend to send you the video. And between what's going on right now with Pfizer and Project Veritas and some other things that we're going to talk about, that adds a whole bunch of credit to what Charster was saying in his comment. And it kind of makes me look like an idiot because my response basically said, you know, I can't believe that something like that would have any credibility whatsoever. Well, he showed me that it's got a whole bunch of credibility. And then doing this particular segment on Pfizer and this Dr. Jordan Walker, and I understand that Robert Malone is part of this deal too.
Well, last night, Tucker Carlson did a very big opening on it. I think it was 20 minutes long, nearly 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically, you know, Tucker Carlson is the only mainstream media outlet, the only, you know, Fox News and his show that would show this.
Yeah.
None of the other networks, none of the other news industries talked anything about it. And, you know, typically the left is very protective. They do not like Project Veritas.
No,
and they've attempted very, very often to discredit him and discredit the people that they interview in some of these very influential videos.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. When you actually, and apparently Google is trying to scrub history on this guy, Dr. Jordan Walker, but when you look at his actual, the facts behind it, he is an incredibly credible, I mean, a serious guy at Pfizer.
Yeah.
Worldwide R&D strategic operations, mRNA scientific planning. He was a consultant for Boston Consulting Group in pharmaceuticals. He was a urologist, a resident urologist, and an analyst for the New York area from 2013 to 2014.
Uh-huh.
So he was a UT Southwestern Medical Center where he got his MD.
Yeah.
And apparently went to Harvard or to Yale with a Bachelor of Science in Molecular, Cellular, and Developmental Biology. He's licensed in the state of New York. So he's a serious guy in a serious position at a serious company, Pfizer, the most influential pharmaceutical company in the world, that actually, oh, by the way, has the highest criminal fine in history from pharmaceutical companies, or from any company.
Yeah.
And here he is explaining what they're doing, and then he goes ballistic at the end of the video when James O'Keefe confronts him about, asks him about questions about it. So very interesting video to watch. But Dr. Robert Malone highlighted on Tucker Carlson at the end of his segment that, hey, look, this just shows how far behind they are with this problem and the weaknesses with the entire process and the entire system right now. But it also shows the level of corruption we have within the pharmaceutical industry and our government that actually is completely connected with them.
Jimmy, we're getting close to a break time, and I want to ask you a question. I want to continue this just briefly in the next segment. And the reason I want to do it is I have got a few questions about Dr. Malone. And the reason I have those questions is purely and simply, I read some of his stuff. I watched an interview with him. I think he could be a very, very big name in the IT world. Hey, stick around. We'll be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
I mean, you know, that was a pretty interesting segment talking about what's going on and how the IT is starting to really affect, I would have to say, evidence gathering for subjects on the internet. We're going to stay on that right now, but before we do, I want to ask your opinion about somebody, Jim. Dr. Robert Malone, I'm seeing more and more of him on the internet, and I'm pretty impressed. What do you think?
Yeah, so Dr. Robert Malone, he was a researcher. I think he was at University of California, Davis, in the late 80s, had actually identified the mRNA technologies and did some work and some patenting to develop the initial stages of what could be done with mRNA.
Yeah.
Now, he's come out and very concerned with the possible damages that can be done with this technology and the potential negative impacts that it has on people.
Yeah.
However, and he came out very early when they were developing these vaccines. He was not derogatory about them, but he was just trying to explain the possibilities of what could go wrong, and he was censored heavily. And basically
he talked about possibilities.
Yes, and one of the key initial researchers in the development of this technology, he was attacked. He was attacked by pharmaceutical companies. He was attacked by the government. He was silenced by big tech companies.
Uh-huh.
And to the point where Wikipedia actually scrubbed information on his original patents and research into mRNA, trying to discredit him. Now, since then, he's been a very vocal voice. He has not backed down. He puts out a daily newsletter. I think it's daily, if not multiple times a week, that provides information on the latest bits of knowledge on not only vaccinations, on COVID, but also on other social and scientific issues out there in the world. And he does have a very big following. So he's getting more and more attention. Now that some of the things that he had warned about are appearing to be true, he's getting listened to a lot more. And in fact, he's been a speaker at some of the hearings that Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin has held. And of course, you know, very knowledgeable guy on this subject. So someone that we should have been listening to and should never have silenced.
Yeah, well, it's too bad that he got cut initially at the beginning, but I'm not surprised of what's going on. It's pretty obvious to me the COVID is a pretty hot subject right now, and it seems to me like the powers that be really are telling everything about COVID that we should know. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that the science representatives from the U.S. government have pushed agendas that I think some are beginning to be embarrassed about.
Yeah.
I think the influence from the senior members of former FDA commissioners, say Scott Gottlieb, who now is on the board of Pfizer, some of these different influences that went from the government directly over into the pharmaceutical industry have influenced the decision making. And of course, there's phenomenal amounts of money being made on all these issues. And that's incredibly dangerous when you combine government and very influential lobbyists and big corporations in these public private partnerships, and the government loses focus on taking care of people.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what we're seeing right now with the entire COVID situation from the beginning.
Pretty interesting. I mean, you know, if the government wants to keep that information away from us, it must be pretty dangerous. And it sure isn't turning out to be that way.
Well, I mean, it is.
No, well, that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, it's turning out to be incredibly dangerous, and I think it's going to be dangerous for many people's careers if the full truth is put forward.
Yeah.
And hopefully there will be not only investigations, but also accountability where people actually look and tell some of these people that are involved in silencing, censoring legitimate scientists and legitimate questions on these issues, and government officials go to jail for doing that, it's going to continue to happen. And that's where we have to see a change right now.
How do you think this silencing, for lack of better terms, is going to affect long-term Anthony Fauci?
Well, ideally, I mean, he's used a lot of little nuanced issues to try to keep him out of trouble.
Yeah.
Ultimately, if he funded gain-of-function research and used all these methods and lies and tools to kind of cover that up,
yeah.
and it was ultimately found that the Wuhan lab started this based on gain-of-function research,
yeah.
I mean, he should go down in history as one of the most despised men in the world.
I would think so.
And at this point, I don't know if there's any way he's going to be recovered, but ultimately, I think someone like that should be held accountable.
Oh, sure.
Especially for silencing right. voices. And he and Francis Collins, the former NIH director, went out of their way to silence very experienced and very qualified epidemiologists and doctors from stating their concerns about this push on vaccinations and on the response to the COVID pandemic overall.
Would you say the push on vaccinations, I mean, sure, it's one thing, it's pretty extraordinary, but wouldn't you say it's a little bit overkill, perhaps? I mean, they terrified. My experience, looking at my kids and talking to them, my kids were terrified. They never let their children out of the house. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. Look what it did to the kids in school. I think it was a little bit of overkill, Jim. How about you?
Oh, there's no question, and it continues to be overkill. In fact, now that we know that young people, and we've known for a long time, really since 2020, late summer 2020, that this did not impact young people, and actually forcing and approving vaccinations and boosters
yeah.
for the young, and then intimidating people and forcing them, scaring them and intimidating into taking these vaccinations when you don't know the long-term effects of it, in my view, it's criminal. It's criminal.
Yeah,
and I think it's incredibly
right.
interesting. And they're still pushing it.
That.
They're still pushing them,
yeah.
Which I think is a huge, huge mistake.
Well, I remember somebody in our book club brought a copy of a book that was written by actually a physician, and he said purely and simply, the book was probably 250 pages long, and they all boiled down to one thing. There's really a major problem for older people, and for particularly for older people who are sick. There's a major problem for people who are older and obese. There's no problem for kids, and I would have to say, being generous, there's probably no problem for the population if they're under the age, if they're not over the age, I guess I should say, of about 65.
Well, and it looks like that this is just, that it was the same danger you'd have from pneumonia, actually
yeah.
even less of danger from pneumonia,
right.
which is what this whole disease evolves into. It's like a very bad flu season.
Yeah.
But of course, now we've seen that, in fact, some of the impacts of these vaccinations reduce people's immune capabilities. And so, yeah, you should have been targeting the population.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. Yeah. Jimmy, we're at the break. We got to take a break for the news, and we're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
For politics, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the inoculations that are taking place right now. They call them boosters. You can't go to the internet without finding some medical experts who are saying the boosters are bad. Jimmy had actually a first-hand experience, unfortunately, centered around very large groups that he was involved in, pardon me, in California, when two of his very close friends and family members perished. And Jim said the experience that he had at the funerals were absolutely mind-boggling. Jim, I'd like you to tell those again, if you would.
Yeah, I'll just briefly review. So,
you know,
both my brother and my uncle passed away this late August and then September. My brother very suddenly liver issue, and my uncle a liver issue. Now, both of them were young and healthy people. My my brother was in his 59, I believe, and
yeah,
59, and my uncle was 66. Now my uncle took the shots initially, and I think right when they came out in February or early March of 2020, and 2 months later was diagnosed with a tumor on his liver, and then very rapidly declined. My brother shockingly just died both of a heart attack and something that caused his liver. We don't really know. We tried to get more information, but but the bottom line is, we go to the funerals. There's over 200 people at the funeral for my uncle, and everybody at the funeral got COVID.
Yeah.
This is in California, where almost all of them were actually vaccinated. And my family, none of us have been vaccinated. Now, we've had COVID. We were not vaccinated. We took no boosters, no vaccinations. None of us, me, my wife, or my children, got COVID from this event. But everybody else that had been vaccinated did, including my aunt and my cousins and, very close family members.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, they're showing more and more evidence. There's a lot of studies out there right now showing that if you take the boosters, if you've had the vaccinations and the boosters, you're actually more susceptible to the virus. And that's according to multiple studies out there. So,
well, you're susceptible to the virus, but you're also susceptible to some other medical events that are really, really interesting, heart attacks, et cetera, et cetera. I just went to a funeral a week ago today for Master Chief Mike Bailey, who was in fantastic health. He was a Master Chief in the U.S. Navy SEAL team. He was a war hero. He was highly decorated. The experience that I was involved with Mike is that he was feeling kind of rocky one night. His wife insisted on calling an ambulance, taking him into the emergency room to find out what was wrong. He got about halfway to the ER, and he just had a knockdown, absolutely tragic heart attack, and he perished. In addition to the football player who collapsed on the field, I believe that was about 2-3 weeks ago, this thing is pretty scary, and you got to get more attention like that. Those aren't just coincidences, Jim.
No, and it's becoming quite apparent. There are a large number of people that are passing from unexpected circumstances, and there's very little information out there to go back and review. The CDC has come out and said, hey, yeah, we're going to take a look at some of these incidences, and that there may be some risk involved, but they've been covering it up for so long. And we see that with more and more information that's coming out from both the Attorney Generals of Louisiana and Missouri case against the Biden administration for big tech censorship. And we're seeing it in emails from Facebook as well as the Twitter file releases. The government was involved in censoring information that might have made people's decision, might have made people question their decision to go ahead and get these vaccines, because in fact it turns out that maybe they're not as safe and effective as the government had purported them to be. And of course the media just jumped on board with that, and we're seeing incredibly damaging events all around the world right now. Yeah. With healthy athletes, we're seeing many people. My next door neighbor had COVID. He's had three boosters, two shots and three boosters, and he got COVID, and he was down for 2 months. So it's the safe and effective argument has to be questioned. The investigations need to go forward, and the government censoring other scientists and other research that may have changed people's minds about taking these risky vaccines. In my view, a global experiment, because it was a global experiment. No one had ever done this mRNA technology before to inject it in people's bodies at a large scale. So we're seeing the ramifications of it, and I hope and pray we get to the bottom of it. And that's one thing that that this new House of Representatives better push in order to protect the American people from continued damage from these government authorities that are pushing agendas and silencing critics from actually talking about what potentially could save your life.
Yeah, completely agree, Jimmy. You know, I have to say that I watched an attempted interview that took place in Davos between a newscaster and the chairman, if I'm not mistaken, of Pfizer. The chairman of Pfizer was confronted with some very, very interesting questions pertaining to exactly what Jimmy and I are talking about right now, and he refused to answer every single question. He was clearly very uncomfortable, and I would suggest anybody who wants to see that, Google Pfizer chairman in Davos.
I think it was Rebel.
Made you stop and think. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think Rebel News out of Canada were the ones that did that interview,
They tried.
Yeah, and what we're seeing across the board is the truth is beginning to come out that what we were told was a lie.
Uh-huh.
That Americans were now, you know, this radio show and the people on here, we've kind of been looking at this for a long time.
Yeah.
One of the more interesting pieces of news that just has popped out, I think Natalie Winters did a piece that shows that EcoHealth Alliance, and that's Peter Daszak, the guy that actually put the researcher that controlled EcoHealth Alliance, that put together this kind of cutout to fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan lab for Anthony Fauci and NIH under a biomedical security funding. And after the Congress, after the Obama White House, it's, hey, no gain-of-function research. He actually has received about $7 million more dollars this last year from NIH, National Institute of Health, funding to do more research on killer viruses.
And who was that again, Jimmy?
Peter Daszak.
Okay.
Peter Daszak is the guy that put together the initial team of doctors that poo-pooed the idea that this was created, that the COVID-19 virus was created in a lab.
Yeah.
And it actually is turning out that is probably the case, and most evidence points that way. And here he is, a guy that tried to cover up his involvement in this, is getting more money from the U.S. government and from the National Institute of Health in order
I mean, what's their choice? They can just give up, or they can say, you know what, the people on the fringe like Corlin and McKinney were right. They're not going to admit that. They're going to continue doing exactly what you're talking about, Jimmy.
Right, which is
about that. You guys, we're going to have to take a real quick commercial break here in about 15 seconds. We're going to talk in the last segment of the program. Jimmy, real quick, we're going to talk about what?
We'll talk about the politics of what's happening right now, maybe finish up on this topic.
There we go. Okay, listen, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. It's been really fun putting this together. Fringe news, I call it. You guys stick around. We'll be right back. Up KER politics. We're going to talk about the new chairman of the Republican Party. Her name is Ronna McDaniel. Jimmy has some interesting things to say about that particular move, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Republicans seem to be going in a very, very different direction than Donald Trump. Jimmy, you want to comment on that first?
Yeah, so Ronna McDaniel has been the RNC chairperson since 2016.
Yeah.
Donald Trump actually supported her because of her support in Michigan and influential financial support for him back then. She took over as the party chair. Since then, we've lost the House in 2018.
Yeah.
We lost the presidency in 2020, and we did not take the Senate and had a very, very weak showing, what should have been a phenomenal showing in the 2022 election.
Mm-hmm.
And what it turns out is that apparently the RNC has been very selective of who they've been funding for candidates. Joe Kent is an example there in Washington where they would not support him because he wanted to use different data than the party had. And they had these agreements with their with their kind of, you know, very influential subcontractors for data and influence operations. And they wanted to protect their contractors more than they wanted to help get victory in some of these races. So that's a damaging thing.
Yeah.
Sure. And she didn't. She basically has caused, in my view, a big split in the Republican Party, because she has been supportive of kind of the institutional DC view. But she did. She did win re-election. Let me just finish this. So today was the election in California. Today's Friday as we record this. She won 111 votes. Harmeet Dhillon, who is a lawyer from California and a volunteer, been very involved in legal cases to protect free speech and America First agendas. She won 51 votes. And Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, has been continually supporting Donald Trump and questioning the outcome of the 2020 election and funding a lot of it through his resources. He got 4 votes. So this is business as usual for the elitist inside the Republican Party. And what they do not realize is they're very much separated from the vast majority of the supporters of basic principles that of America First and to this nation, the Constitution.
Well, I have to say, I mean, my first impression after the election, you know, where we got control of the House, but we sure didn't have a very good showing in terms of the Senate, I have to say. And talking with friends, talking with colleagues, looking at some of the, and reading and commenting with some of the people on our blog, the general consensus was the Republicans are too disorganized. But what you're saying is they're going in typically a very wrong direction. Is that correct?
I am. So, you know, having experience with the party, both at a local level and at, you know, statewide level in Washington, and then actually having experience with the Republican Party here in South Carolina, it's not that the party is not organized. The Republican Party is very organized.
Yeah.
And in fact, my experience is it's much more organized and disciplined than the Democratic Party in general. However, the Democratic Party is very effective at getting activists involved and then using influence to shape the outcomes that they want, much more effective than the Republican Party is. So is it organizational? I don't know if it's an organizational problem. I think it's actually a mission problem, and how far the Democrats are willing to go and how unwilling the Republicans are to call out the Republic or the Democrats manipulating the system.
Yeah, I find that to be rather interesting. You and I have had that conversation off mic a number of times, and my comment is, you know, the pendulum swings, this may be a little simplistic, but the pendulum swings both ways, and right now it does not appear to be swinging in favor necessarily of the Democrats, Jim.
I think there's, as you get more information out there and more opening, more free speech, the Twitter example is good, yeah, and you're getting more information on COVID. I think a lot of people are going to be very disappointed in their government, and they're certainly disappointed right now in Joe Biden's leadership and the Democratic Party's leadership in America. So is there a swing that way? There is a swing. However, and we saw that in massive numbers of polls that showed that people are really dissatisfied with the direction of the country. Uh-huh. But it did not show up in the polls, in the ballots. So that frustration is getting even deeper.
Yeah.
And the problem is when we have, like in Washington State, when you have full-on mail-in ballots, California's, you know, same way. You don't even have a polling station in Washington. You can't even go to a poll. You have to mail it in. Then you get registered when you file for your driver's license. There's no ID requirement when they mail you that ballot. They don't even know where you live at when they mail you that ballot. And you can change your address. And like what happened to me and my wife, we got 4 ballots in the mail because we had moved in between the primaries and the general election last year, which means you've got thousands potential of unmanageable ballots, and people can manipulate the system without voter ID with mail. Right. It's so disgusting and so untrustworthy, and people are frustrated with that. They're fed up with it. But unless you get people elected to make the change, you're not going to see that. And this is the problem I see with the Republican Party in general, where they're electing the same people that have done the same things. Ronna McDaniel has not been successful in leadership in the Republican Party. We have clearly seen that. As much as she says she has, she's gained a lot of money, but they've spent a lot of it on crazy things as well. So it's a problem. You may see the tide turning against the ideology here, but it's going to take some real big effort to overcome the institutional corruption that's existed in Washington, and certainly that is associated now with law enforcement and regulatory agencies in D.C.
An awful lot of it, really bad. Our country has sunk lower than I ever thought I'd see it, but I don't know, Jimmy. So what you're saying is it really isn't just disorganization among the Republicans. It's a very different way that they're looking philosophically at what this country needs, correct?
Right. They're looking at it, in my view, Republican establishment is looking at from an elitist DC view that says, we know how to manage you.
Yeah.
What they're missing is the American people are fed up with the way they've been managing Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
However, that's a direct threat to their power. So they're circling the wagons. They're trying to push out other agendas. You know, Ron DeSantis came out and publicly said he needs we should have Harmit Dillon in a change in the Republican Party. That's kind of a damning statement right there for for an institutional party that just reelected Ronna McDaniel. That tells you how separated they are from a very influential, very powerful Republican governor that is potential presidential candidate.
Well, I can imagine that former President Trump doesn't hold her in the highest regard.
So he has been very careful not to say much. A lot of the left said that he's been trying to get her elected, and that he, you know, put people out to the conference to try to rally votes for her.
Yeah,
it's been he has not come out publicly and supported either one. My guess is he's being very cautious about this. Did not support either side. I believe he probably would have been very happy with either one, but more happy with Harmit Dillon. But he certainly didn't want to say it because he knows he has to work with that corrupt establishment in order to be successful in the campaign. That's the sad part about politics. You have to align yourselves on occasion with people you don't really like. And unfortunately, that's what killed him in his last in his administration, was too many rhinos, Republicans in name only, that tubed him and undermined his presidency.
Well, I got to tell you, Jimmy, we're at about 9 minutes and 20 seconds right now. I got to tell you, if Donald Trump cannot garner a huge amount of support from the Republican Party, it's going to turn out just like it turned out in 2020. We got 30 seconds left. Give you the final word.
Yeah, so 2020 was a unique situation, and I think he's gaining more and more. He's been very careful. And remember, if you alienate the Trump supporters, they're not going to come out and vote because they're not typical Republicans.
No,
that's what they have to realize at the headquarters back there at RNC.
Yeah, I realize that. It's a real shame because we need it. Ladies and gentlemen, I need it too. We're done with KER Politics. It's been fun. Next week will be good too.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.